right. Amen and amen. Well, I've shared the text that I'm going to share tonight many times because it is one of those things that stood out to me. I've mentioned different times where I've had, it's rare where it was like God the Holy Spirit was speaking, not in an audible voice, but took a text of Scripture and just brought it out and spoke to me just as though Jesus himself were right there speaking to me. And this text tonight is one of those that happened to me about 1975. I'm thinking right around that time. And I want to share that text tonight. And the message is in Revelation. If you go to Revelation chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2 is where you're going to find that text. And if you've been around here a while, you've heard me use this text and quote this text at different times, and I'm going to do it tonight. Now, keep in mind that the message is to the angel of the church in Sardis. And so I'm going to read it. Angel of the church in Sardis. I believe historically that would be a Reformed church, the Reformed churches. But it says there, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write. Now this is the Lord speaking to the to the Apostle John, and he says, John, write this down, and write it to the angel of the church in Sardis. These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. And, you know, it's interesting, you say, who are the angels of these churches? Who are they? And they are also called stars. Interesting, we think of stars today in Hollywood. We think of stars in the sports world. You know, my team is playing tonight, and I don't know who's going to win, but it doesn't matter. The real stars are not the sports stars. They're not the Hollywood stars. They're the stars who are the angels of these churches. And I had something interesting happen to me this morning. I had that lady come up to me. I mentioned Aaliyah Betts. I think she's on the Wilkes-Barre bus. Am I right there, do you think? Hopefully. And she came up to me, and right after the service, she said, I just got to tell you something. She said, I hope that you will believe me. She said, but you probably won't, because this never happened to me before. But she said, while you were preaching, there was like an aura of light all around you, like you were an angel. And I said, well, I said, actually, I do believe you because the Bible says I am an angel. Angel means messenger or one who brings the message. And that is speaking in Revelation in the seven churches historically in John's day, that each church had a head pastor, and he's the one that brought the message from God, from the Lord, to the church. In Revelation chapter 1, he calls them stars, as he does here, and he says the stars are the angels, and they're in the right hand of the Lord. You say, well, why aren't they heavenly angels? Well, what good would it be to tell a heavenly angel the message for the church? No, God uses people. No, God uses men. There used to be a song, Earth Angel, Earth Angel. And that is a human being angel who is a messenger with the message. By the way, that's why it's important that you're in church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday. That's why Pastor Ware, his faith was attacked, because he said, there are men smarter than me. There are men that people could go and get a message on the internet or go and hear. But his faith was being attacked because you have an angel with God's message to you every time you come to church. And so I told this lady, I said, no, I believe it. I certainly believe I'm an angel, a messenger, according to the Word of God. And I said, but as far as an angel, my secretary was there, I said, you can tell her that. And then if my wife was there, I would have said, you can tell my wife I'm an angel. I wonder what she'd say. But anyway, the Bible speaks in Revelation 1, verse 20. I'll read it to you. It says, "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand." That's the Lord Jesus. "And the seven golden candlesticks." The seven stars are the what? Say it again. The what? Angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And so the Lord Jesus has in his hands a God-called pastor, a God-called angel or messenger with the message of God. And you are wise to be involved in a church that has a God-called pastor. And that was the problem with the church at Sardis. People were getting in the ministry for the wrong reason. They were mama called and daddy sent, or they were paid as a hireling, you know, that gets hired for the ministry and doesn't do it for God, doing it for money. And I've always said I'm not going to make money the basis for my ministry. When I came here, I didn't get paid anything. Basically, I had to come and pay my own way, and it was very little that they gave me. And then I had the time for 3 years where the church wasn't able to pay me, and I kept preaching. I proved I wasn't here for money. If people say that, they're lying. And so I'm saying to you, you need a man of God with a message of God from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, what do I do? Show up. What do I do? Have ears to hear. It says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the what? Spirit saith to the church." It's the Holy Spirit through the man of God. Now, it is a human being. I have flaws, and every earth angel pastor has flaws, but it nevertheless is the Holy Spirit working through the angel of the church and has something for you. And so tonight, I want to preach a message, and I've preached this kind of a message before, but I feel led to preach it tonight, and it is, bury yourself here in God's church until God blasts you out. Bury yourself here in God's church until God blasts you out. I only have really 2 points for this message. I don't envision it being very long. I don't want to be a liar, but 2 points for this message about burying yourself here in God's church until God blasts you out. Number 1 point, because of the provision of Christ for you. Let's read that again. Revelation 3, 1a. It says, "For under the angel of the church in Sardis write." All right, so that is God's provision for you. By the way, when the Lord leads you into a local church, it says in Acts 20, verse 28, that the Holy Ghost is working through the overseer, the pastor of that church, to lead you and feed you to do God's will for your life. So it says in Acts 20:28, here is the Apostle Paul. He's at a pastor's conference. He's gathered all these head pastors together and said, "Take heed unto yourselves," he says, speaking to these pastors at the conference in the province of Asia. He says, "And to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." The pastor does not own the flock. The pastor did not purchase the flock. The Lord Jesus owns the flock, and he purchased you, if you're his, with his own blood. And he put under shepherds over each flock in order to feed the flock and to lead the flock to do God's will for your life and to have a successful life for the Lord and a blessed life for the Lord. And that's why it's important, you see, to understand that God wants you to bury yourself in his church until God blasts you out because of the provision of Christ for an angel for your life on this earth. And that's what the seven stars are all about. And it says that there are seven spirits of God. Why was that important? Because the church at Sardis, Jesus indicted them and said, you've got a name to live, but you're really dead. The church, you got some good doctrine in your past and some truth in your past, but you're really dead. And many of the Reformation churches and people, they had a lot of members that were not born again, and pastors who are not born again, but they had a lot of knowledge of the Word of God. And it's important, and that's what the Great Awakening was all about. Jonathan Edwards was preaching, and he was preaching even to preachers, and he said, you guys are dead. You're not even born again. You must be born again. And that is so true tonight. You need to be born again by the Spirit of God. You need to have a testimony where you met the Lord Jesus Christ and got saved by faith. And that's important. But also, preachers need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We need to pray for God-called preachers and pray that the preachers will say what God wants them to say. You know, I was saved while I was still in a Reformation-type church, Protestant church. I preached my dad's funeral there. And in the course of preaching, I just said something against homosexuality, sodomy. I don't know how it came into the message, but it came in. And you know what? I know some people did not like that. I know the pastor is a born-again believer. I like the guy. But there's certain things they're not allowed to say. It's not correct. And if they want their position, and if they, my dad used to say, be a pastor in the Christian Reformed Church, they're paid like senators. I'm glad I'm not paid like a senator. I don't want to be like a senator or a congressperson. Amen. I want to be a man of God. I want to speak the message that the Lord Jesus gave me to speak and not tiptoe through any tither, not worry about any person, what they may think about it. I want to be able to say what God wants me to say. And if you have a preacher that is worried about that, he's fearful, and the Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare, and therefore you're not going to get the full Word of God. You're not going to get the message of the in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to get that. It's gonna be something that is trimmed and tailored, and that's not going to help you spiritually. And that's why the Apostle Paul, he said to these preachers, you give it to them. He said to these preachers, you give them the Word of God. You tell them exactly what God said. Do not trim it. You give it to them. And so that is your provision. And if you find, listen to me, if you find a church like that, you stay in it. You bury yourself in it. You say, well, I get offended here and there. The Bible says in Psalm 119, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Many times the Word of God will offend your flesh. That's all right, because your flesh isn't you, as we saw today in Sunday school. You're in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of Christ dwell in you. And so if the message rips your face off and goes against your flesh in a specific way, you shouldn't be saying, oh, the pastor's preaching against me. First of all, it was not against you. You're in Christ. It's against your flesh, which is doing you no favors. You know who your greatest enemy is? That person that's looking back at you when you look at the mirror in the morning. And so that's doing you no favors to cater to your flesh and to make a smooth message that everyone can be happy with. That's what makes a liberal church. A Laodicean church. We don't want that kind of church. Christ said, I'll spew that kind of church right out of my mouth. And so tonight we need hot preaching, amen? We need pastors that are preaching for God and preaching the Word of God and not afraid to do that. Not preaching for money, not preaching for popularity and people's opinion. No, I tell you what, I'd rather have a little church than a big, big church and a message where the Holy Spirit is not there, where Jesus is not welcome, and the Word of God is not welcome. So I'm saying tonight that God wants you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church with a God-called pastor and bury yourself in that church and surrender to serve God in that church with the talents that He's given you, with the spiritual gift that He's given you, because every believer has a spiritual gift, and many believers have different talents that they can have, and you can use that in order to serve God. I was thinking about a verse in Ephesians 2. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Not of works." But then it says, I like that, "lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created," how? "In Christ Jesus." For what? "Unto good works, which he hath before ordained that you should walk in them." And you say, how am I going to walk in these good works? Bury yourself in an independent, fundamental Baptist church under a man of God, called of God, preaching in the power of the Spirit of God. Let that cut your flesh. Let that feed your new life in Christ. And get involved. And bury yourself in that church until God blasts you out. And that is the provision of the wonderful Lord. And it says not only that, Acts 20:28, but it also says every time the local church gets together, like we're doing tonight. We got together this morning, amen. Matthew said he had a good time. I had a good time. I said to God, I want to have a good time tonight when I get in church. It's cold outside, it's dark, it's winter. But Lord, I said, I want to enjoy my preaching tonight. I am enjoying it. I'm having a good time tonight. I hope you are, but if I'm not having a good time, you're sure not going to have a good time. I'm glad I'm here tonight. And I'm glad you're here tonight. But most importantly, I'm glad Jesus is here tonight. Amen? And I don't need you for my joy. You can increase my joy. I like it. But I don't need you for my joy. My joy is in the Lord. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice! And I'm just saying, I'm having a good time. And we should. And every time the church gets together, it's a supernatural, it's not a social club meeting. Not a social club. I know you like to be with your friends, you teenagers. I'm glad you have good friends. But it's not just a social club meeting. It's a supernatural church meeting. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 4. He's back. Amen. 1 Corinthians 5, verse number 4. It says, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ." Boy, I like that. We're gathering in the name of Christ in church tonight. And you should be here tonight. And you are. And that's good, because you know, the Lord is here. It says, and the power of the Lord is here. Amen? The Bible says, you read it in your scripture reading at the end of last year, Zechariah, "not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." We already heard a testimony about that, how somebody got saved this morning, Mary Jo, and then she was willing not only to get saved, but to get baptized. We had four other people that came forward this morning. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ to cause people to make decisions. Many made decisions about surrendering to the Lord in their lives. And for the new year, things not to fix in 2020. 26, and one of those was your involvement in the local church and other in soul winning and in reading the Bible and in praying and so forth, things to fix. And making a commitment to do that and to stay with that. And so your church is important. And it says in Revelation, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are, I'm sorry, that's in 1 Corinthians 5, when you are gathered together. Revelation 1:13 says this, though, in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. We have a gathering tonight. It's a church gathering. Do you know what this is called? It's called a golden candlestick in the Bible. That's what the local church is. We're the light of the world. We're to shine in the darkness. Jesus is the light of the world, but he shines through us. We're the candlestick. We're to be set on a place where the world can see our good works and glorify our Father that's in heaven. And so you're here tonight because it's a dark time. It's a winter time. The days are short. But yeah, God wants you to shine as lights in this world. You know, we've got a world right now that's very dark. Canada is a police state. In Canada, in England, police state. If I were to preach in Canada, if I were to preach in England, and I were to preach against sodomy, or I were to preach against fornication, that is immorality outside of marriage, I would be put in jail for years. I said Canada. I said England. I would be put in jail for years. The darkness deepens, my friend. Thank God for the United States. Thank God for helping us and for the man that he's anointed to be raised up to bring judgment upon the systems of evil and to push back the one world government that's moving quickly. You are important to that. Local, independent, fundamental churches are important to that. And I thank God that you're here tonight, that this church is here tonight. No thanks to Satan. He throws water on the fire of this church, and Jesus keeps feeding it with oil and keeps it going and keeps you going. And Satan pours upon it. The world pours upon it, tries to attack it. But thank God the Lord keeps it going. It reminds me of that burning bush that Moses saw, and that bush burned. It didn't consume the bush, but it kept burning. That's what God wants. That's what you are as part of a local church, and that's why Jesus hangs around the church. He's not going to hang around some dead religious group. Now, Jesus is here with his church, and it says he's in the midst of the candlestick, and he's like a high priest, and he is taking care of his church, and he wants you to prosper. He wants you to thrive, whether it's in 2025 or 2026. And so I remember that when I was in Bible college, When I was in Bible college, the Lord dealt with me about the local church. In fact, I went to Calvin College in Grand Rapids. I transferred here to Pennsylvania because I wanted to really get into a Bible college that would teach the Bible. And I was looking for that. And my Baptist pastor told me about this school. So I came out here about 1969, thereabouts. And I came out here as a young man and going into my second year of college, and I was at Baptist Bible College there, and then I met Charles Ware, and he was in a church in Williamson, New York, a Baptist church, and we had a great year together, and then we went back to our respective churches for the summer. But in my case, I didn't go back to Michigan. I went down to Florida and worked with a guy that was in my college, and lived down in West Palm Beach, Florida for the summer. And I went to a church, Independent Fundamental Baptist Church, called Emmanuel Baptist Church. And there I met a girl by the name of Kathy Leeser. And she had come back from college. I think that was your sophomore year that you came back from. Sophomore year at Cedarville College in Ohio. And she shook my hand and welcomed me to the church. And she was trying to be friendly. And I was being a jerk and saying, I just acted like I was a visitor, not a Bible college guy down there. But anyway, that really changed things. But you know what? I got convicted when I was there in that church for the summer about the local church, because I had really not been involved in an independent fundamental Baptist church, and I got involved that summer. I went visiting to the youth group, and my wife was a college student, I was a college student, and we together would knock on doors of teenagers and try to get them involved in the youth group. And we served the Lord together in the youth group. And we got to know one another in the local church. But I got convicted of the importance of the local church. Little did I know that Charlie Ware, he went back to Williamson, New York, where he got saved. And he was in a church up there. And he got convicted of the importance of the local church. And so we both came back together, and now I was at my second year of BBC, third year of college, and they had what's called street witnessing. The college would send kids down into Scranton, you know, to witness, and then we'd go back on a Monday, and they had a praise chapel, and we'd praise God for opportunities we had. But, you know, for me, it wasn't real. My home and everything was on the Holy Hill. I was a college student living in the dorms. My whole life was centered in the college. I was lost in college. I went down just to kind of have a notch on my gun. Like, I'm a gunslinger. I got another one, you know. I got somebody. And it was just that kind of thing. There was no involvement and no real heart to it. And I remember God was dealing with me about that and about the importance of the local church, doing the same thing to Charlie Ware. And there was a guy named Denny Wilhite. His dad was Orland Wilhite. He was a pastor in Towanda, New York. And he was at the college, and he was doing the street witnessing. And he came up to Charlie Ware because he saw the leadership. He saw the grace of God in his life. He said, you know what? We've been witnessing, and we have some people that have trusted the Lord, but we want to see a church established in Scranton. He was just a young guy my age. We want to have a church at about 19. We want to have a church established in Scranton, a local church where people are saved and baptized and joined together to have the ordinances, the Lord's table and baptism and follow the word of God. We want to have people that will commit to the local church. And would you consider being a pastor to plant that church? And Charlie Ware prayed about it. He felt led of the Lord. Yeah, that's what God wants me to do this summer. I'm gonna stay here, and we're going to start a church in Scranton. He talked to me about it. We've become good friends. I said, I'll pray about it. And God worked in my heart, and I decided to help him, to assist him to plant this church in Scranton. We lived in Dalton, Pennsylvania at a hotel called the Dalton House Hotel. They called us the Baptist Boys, and we fixed up that hotel. Can you imagine hiring me to be the handyman to fix up the hotel? But anyway, we got hired to do that. We had some other guys, thank God, there that were there, and we were the Baptist Boys, they called us, and they took care of us, free rent and all that. And we traveled into Scranton to do the work of the gospel and to have the local church. That was the first summer that we were there. Then I got convicted. I don't want to graduate from Bible college with debt, so I'm gonna work. So I got a job at Haddon Craftsman working. I lived in Clark Summit at the widow's house, Mrs. Perry, and while we were doing that, we were still working on this church, Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And that was a change in my life because the church became more important to me than college. The center of my life was not the Bible college. By the way, that Bible college is no longer there. That's sad. I don't like that. But it's no longer there. But Jesus said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell would not prevail again. I believe every Bible college, if it's a true Bible college, should be under a local church. Christian college should be under a local church. And the dog shouldn't have his self wagged by the tail. The dog should wag the tail. The church should lead all the ministries. And I came to that conviction. And so I remember going through that. And then I remember moving into Ketchum Dorm. I became a resident advisor after I worked and paid my bills. And I was current with my bills, paying them off, working my way through. I was a resident advisor in Ketchum Dorm up there. And I was still working in the church. And I remember counseling with the guys, and everything was centered around our local church. And I said to them, I'm praying for a wife. And they'd sit outside my prayer closet, and they'd say, wow, he was in there for 2 hours. What were you doing? I bet you were praying for your wife, weren't you? And I said, yeah, that's one of the things I was praying for. God had led me at that time not to date anybody, just to serve the Lord, pray for my wife. And I said, God, you bring her here. And God brought my wife out of Florida to visit that Bible college with her friend who was a member of the church in Florida where she was from, Emmanuel Baptist Church. And later on, he brought my wife right up here into this church to be a counselor in a camp that the pastor was running. And it just, God just did all of those things. But what I'm saying to you is I learned to say I'm going to bury myself in Scranton Revival Baptist Church until God blasts me out. And all of my life is going to be centered around the local church and serving God in the local New Testament church. And that's what happened. And so we surrendered to the Lord. And later on, I moved into a house with the Baptist boys at 631 Madison Avenue. And in the fall of that year, after the summer I moved in there, I was married. And when we planted the church in Scranton, I surrendered to bury myself in Scranton Revival Baptist Church. That's the first thing I want to tell you. Bury yourself here in the local church until God blasts you out because of the provision of Christ for you in this church. But number two and last, because of the pulling away by people. And I want you to see that, why you need to bury yourself, because of the pulling away by people. And here's what it is. Look at verse 2. It says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. You know what? When I graduated from Baptist Bible College around 1975, there was a pull for me to start my own church. There were people telling me, well, you've helped the pastor and you've helped build his church, but now, you know, you're trained, you're a God-called man, you've gone to Bible college, you need to start your own church. And they kept drumming that into my head and drumming that into my head. And finally, I was ordained in this church, and I was working in this church, ordained first of all as a church evangelist. And I thought, well, yeah, I'm supposed to be a missionary. I'll go plant a church. And so I was supposed to go to a missionary conference in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where I'm from. And in the 1970s, about 1975, and I drove out there, and I had written my doctrinal statement. I'd been ordained and all that in this church as preacher. And I was to meet with a mission board leader of Hiawatha Baptist Missions, and they started Baptist churches in the United States. And I said, well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get approved by this mission board, and I'm going to go around and preach in churches and raise money and plant churches. churches myself in the United States. But guess what? Scranton Revival Baptist Church wasn't ready for me to leave. And I don't believe it was God's time for me to leave. You say, how do you know that? I'm driving out to Grand Rapids, and it was like that verse 2 hit me like a ton of bricks. It was like Jesus speaking right to my heart from the Word of God and calling me to do something I did not plan to do, which was to stay here. Let me read the verse again. Jesus was saying to me, I believe, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. By the way, God was showing me the things that you're doing in the church. I was a Sunday school teacher, Sunday school superintendent, soul winner, assistant in the pastoring ministry, a lot of different things I was doing. And the Lord was telling me, you're not doing them in the power of the Spirit. Your ministries are dying. They're not strong. And you're going to go out and plant a church? No, you need to wake up and to watch and to pray and to get involved and to do the work that I want you to do in Scranton. And I want to say that to you tonight. Maybe people are trying to pull you away from the church. They're trying to pull you away from your ministries in the church. They're trying to make something or someone more important. Listen to Jesus. He said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. Strengthen the work that you're doing. It's ready to die. And he says, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. You know what perfect there means? You haven't completed the work I've given you to do in Scranton. That was in 1975. Last I checked out, it's 2025. Wasn't that about 50 years ago? It was. And they're still not done. They're still not done. I'm saying to you tonight, bury yourself in Scranton Revival Baptist Church until God blasts you out. God called me here and he never called me anywhere else. I said to God, if you want to call me to Florida, especially South Florida, just whisper. I don't hear it. I haven't heard it. My son is in Florida right now. He's showing me pictures and rubbing it in while my daughter's taking care of his dogs. Let's get him. Let's get on him, Mindy. And he's down there, and he's showing me these pictures of my grandchildren, and it looks really nice down there. He's on vacation down there. His wife loves it. You know, his wife's parents have a house down there. They have a house in Michigan, a house in Florida. But you see, I'm not going by what I want to do, what I have a burden for. I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. And I'm just saying to you that you're in the Lord's army, and he wants you to be watchful and strength. And remember, when you try to bury yourself in a church and to make it in, it'll bless your family. It'll bless your family. And you do that, and there will be people that will try to pull you away from the church. I remember a guy in our church years ago. This is years ago. You people wouldn't know him. But he was in our church, and he buried himself in the church, and he was under the Word of God. And what wonderful changes I saw in his life. In his marriage, he learned how to raise his kids God's way, and he was being blessed. He had ministries in the church. His children were being blessed. His family was being blessed. And then he was getting pulled away. There was a guy that talked to his brother-in-law and told his brother-in-law, hey, I want your brother-in-law to pastor this church. Funny, he never mentioned it to me. He just mentioned it to his brother-in-law, and his brother-in-law mentioned it to his wife, and his wife, who was the sister of this guy's wife that they wanted to be a pastor, the sister started talking to her about it and convinced her, and then this guy's wife convinced him to move. He came to me, seemed to have some spiritual reasons, but my wife said, I don't believe it. I believe he's being pulled away. You know, sometimes the good can be the enemy of the best in your life. He was being pulled away, and he went up there to that church. And we sent him off with blessing. He'd been ordained. We sent him away with blessing, but it wasn't God's will. See, a burden that you have for something is not necessarily a call from God. There's a difference between a burden and a call from God. Jack Hiles, the great preacher, First Baptist Church in Hammond, he said when he went from Texas to Hammond, he had no desire to go to Chicago from Texas. Now, he'd been there a few years before and cried over the young people that lived in the tenement buildings in Chicago and wanted to reach them, but that was a burden. He said then that burden went away from him. He forgot about it. He was all involved in his great works in Texas building churches, but God called him to Chicago, to what I call the armpit of America, Hammond, Indiana. And he built the world's largest Sunday school, reached so many lives. But he didn't have a burden, he had a call. I mean, he prayed and asked God, give me a call if you want me to go. Because some guy said, pray about this. And he was going to a Bible conference where John R. Rice was going to preach, and he was going to preach. And he's driving to Lake Louise, Georgia, to this Bible conference from Texas. He said, oh, this guy from Hammond, Indiana, wanted me to pray. And I told him, don't call me, I'll call you. I don't want to do that, but I'll pray. And he forgot to pray about it. He said, oh, okay, Lord, if you want me to go to Hammond, you just show me, give me a call. And he's driving along the highway, and he fell asleep. And he was ready to crash into an 18-wheeler just after he prayed that prayer. And suddenly he was jolted awake, and he hit the brakes, and his car screeched, and it came right to the edge of the 18-wheeler. And there the 18-wheeler said, Hammond, Indiana. Hammond, Indiana. So he's driving, you know, and he's going ahead, and he's getting to this place, and he said, Lord, that was scary. That was wow. He said, listen, I that might have just been a coincidence. If you really want this, you want me to move from Texas to Hammond, Indiana, you show me if you're calling me. Make it clear, Lord. Really verify this. He looked up from his prayers, he's driving, and he was nowhere near Indiana. And there's this huge guy, like a light guy with lights, you know, all lights around him. And it said, Hammond welcomes you. He pulled his car over, and he pulled over. What is this? It's this big light statue. Hammond welcomes you. And it was Hammond, Texas or something. But he's like, oh, brother. He drove to the conference. He got there to the conference, Lake Louise, Georgia. No sooner does he park his car, some guy's running out to him and saying, you got a long-distance phone call. Jack, you got a call. You got to take it. He said, it's from Hammond, Indiana, right? He said, how did you know? He said, I had some signs along the way. You see, there's a difference between that's what I call God blasting you out. There's a difference between a burden and a call. My young preacher friend that left to go up there to pastor, through his wife's leadership, from her sister-in-law, and on it goes, never got to me for our church to pray about it and to talk to him. I was found out way after the fact. But when that happened, and he went up there, he had some problems, and he wasn't ready to handle those problems. He got bitter as a pastor. He was mistreated. Pastors do get mistreated at times in the ministry. You got to be able to take it. He got bitter. He got into drinking. became really hooked up in booze. Family really went down, down, down. He quit the ministry there or was kicked out, one of the two. And he never fully has recovered from that, nor has his family. I'm saying bury yourself in Scranton Revival Baptist Church until God blasts you out. I remember this guy said, I want to maybe go to Bible college to be trained. I took him aside about 8 years ago. And I showed him from the scripture the best way is to have a college in the church and to train with the man of God and stay in the local church until God blasts you out. He did that. Then there was another time through a relative of his wife where there was some pull there, wasn't? Am I right or am I right? I'm right. There was some pull there to go and serve in another church. But he realized that's not the call of God. His wife realized that's not the call of God. We're not going there. We're not going to do that. Oh, the money might be better. A lot of other things might be better. But it's the call of God. That's what's important. I remember Brother Matthew came here to this church. He tried to get away three times. And God brought him back. Then after he was here and God brought him back and he was really growing and his life was being blessed. Sunday school teacher, bus ministry, getting married in the church. Everything was being blessed. He still had somebody trying to pull him over to Africa to be a missionary. And I said, when you go to be a missionary, the church will know it and they'll send you out. Like it says in Acts 13, the Spirit of God said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work I've called them. I said, the guy that's talking to you about going to Africa, he's not even settled in America, locked in and loaded in a local church. Get locked in. Get locked in. Bury yourself in the church because people will be used to pull you away. And I've had different men in the church, not called to preach, just men in the church, and they have, for one reason or another, looked for another church. And those men could testify as they looked around. They said, we have not been able to find anything like Scranton Revival Baptist Church. We're back. We're back. The only thing is, you lose time. And somebody said, time is money. Time is life. You can't afford to lose time. Because you can lose money and get it back. You can't lose time and get it back. There are no do-overs in this life. And so, I'm just saying, bury yourself here in God's church until he blasts you out because of the provision of Christ and then because of the pulling away of people and by people. And stay with it because people that have stayed, God has blessed their families. I'm not going to give credit to the church for his family or for the Bajeski family or for families that have stayed here. But I'm going to give credit to the Lord working through a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. I like what your daughter Angela said to you guys. You raised me in a church, and now I'm having that same opportunity to be in a soul-winning, independent, fundamental Baptist church. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. The fruit is a blessing. And I said this wouldn't be a long message, so I'm going to have to bring it to a close. And let me just say this. It says in the Bible, and when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child's life to destroy him. You know, God was calling the family of Mary and Joseph to go to Egypt to protect the young child Jesus. Whose side of the bed did the angel walk around to tell that person in a dream to go to Egypt? Was it Mary or Joseph?
Joseph.
It was Joseph. You see, God leads through the man. If there's going to be a change in the church, and God is calling for that, it will be first for the kingdom of God's sake, not just for money, and it will be through the man. But too many men have wimped out to women here. If my wife tells me don't preach at this church anymore, I'll be here the next day. Just to spite her. No, I love her, but I'm called to be the head. I'm called to be the head. I'm not going to surrender my headship. I'm not going to do it. There are too many men that I think they've had too much female hormone today. I think Alex Jones is right about the frogs. God help us. I'm going to cut it short. But bury yourself here in God's church until God blasts you out, because he's given you a provision in the angel of the church. And because of the pulling away, because Brother Joe knows it, how many people would we have if many didn't get pulled away, Brother Joe? How many? Huh? Did you hear what he said? I'll repeat it, because he said we wouldn't be able to fit everybody in this church. It wouldn't be large enough. And he's right. Don't let yourself be a casualty of the pulling away. Be patient and you'll be blessed. Let's bow.